Honorable Inefabilis Deus of Pius, Pope Pius IX. The Roman doctrine, inasmuch as whatever pertains to sacred worship is intimately connected with its object and cannot have either consistency or durability if this object is vague or uncertain, our predecessors, the Roman pontiffs, therefore, while directing all their efforts toward an increase of the devotion to the conception, made it their aim not only to emphasize the object with utmost zeal, but also to enunciate the exact doctrine. Definitely and clearly, they taught that the feast was held in honor of the conception of the Virgin. They denounced any fault as false and absolutely foreign to the mind of the Church. The opinion of those who held and affirmed that it was not the conception of the Virgin, but her sanctification that was honored by the Church. They never thought that greater leniency should be extended toward those who attempted to disprove the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin. Devised a distinction between the first and second instance of the conception, and inferred that the conception which the Church celebrates was not that of the first instance of conception, but the second. In fact, they held it was their duty not only to uphold and defend with all their power the feast of the conception of the Blessed Virgin, but also to assert that the true object of this veneration was her conception considered in its first instant. Hence the words of one of our predecessors, Alexander VII, who authoritatively and decisively declared the mind of the Church, quote, concerning the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, ancient indeed is that devotion of the faithful, based on the belief that her soul in the first instant of its creation and in the first instant of the soul's infusion into the body was by a special grace and privilege of God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, her Son and the Redeemer of the human race, preserved free from all stain of original sin. And in this sense, we have the faithful ever solemnized and celebrated the feast of the conception, unquote. Moreover, our predecessors considered it their special solemn duty with all diligence, zeal, and effort to preserve intact the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of the Mother of God. For not only have they in no way ever allowed this doctrine to be censored or changed, but they have gone much further and by clear statements repeatedly asserted that the doctrine by which we profess the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin is on its own merits entirely in harmony with the ecclesiastical veneration. That is ancient and widespread, and of the same nature as that which the Roman Church has undertaken to promote and to protect, and that it is entirely worthy to be used in the sacred liturgy and solemn prayers. Not content with this, they most strictly prohibited any opinion contrary to this doctrine to be defended in public or private, in order that the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin might remain inviolate. By repeated blows, they wished to put an end to such an opinion. Unless these oft-repeated and clearer statements seemed useless, they added a sanction to them. Papal sanctions. All these things our illustrious predecessor Alexander VII summed up in these words, quote, we have in mind the fact that the Holy Roman Church solemnly celebrated the feast of the conception of the undefiled and ever Virgin Mary, and has long ago appointed for this a special and proper office according to the pious, devout, and laudable instruction which was given by our predecessor Sixtus IV. Likewise, we were desirous, after the example of our predecessors, to favor this praiseworthy piety, devotion, feast, and veneration, which is in keeping with the piety unchanged in the Roman Church from the day it was instituted. We also desire to protect this piety and devotion of venerating and extolling the Most Blessed Virgin, preserved from original sin by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, we were anxious to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the flock of Christ by putting down arguments and controversies and by removing scandals. So at the instance and request of the bishops mentioned above, with the chapters of the churches and of King Philip and his kingdoms, we renew the constitutions and decrees issued by the Roman pontiffs, our predecessors, especially Sixtus IV, Paul V, Gregory XV, in favor of the doctrine asserting that the soul of the Blessed Virgin, its creation and infusion into the body, was endowed with the grace of the Holy Spirit and preserved from original sin, and also in favor of the feast and veneration of the conception of the Virgin Mother of God, which, as is manifest, was instituted in keeping with this pious belief. So we command this feast to be observed under the censures and penalties constituted in the same constitutions, and therefore, against all and every one of those who shall continue to construe the said constitutions and decrees in a manner apt to frustrate the favor which is thereby given to the said doctrine and the feast and relative veneration, or who shall dare to call into question the said sentence, feast, and worship, or in any way whatsoever, directly or indirectly, shall declare themselves opposed to it, under any pretext whatsoever, were it but only to the extent of examining the possibilities of affecting the definition, or who shall comment upon and interpret the sacred scripture of the fathers or doctors in connection therewith, or finally for any reason or any occasion, shall dare, either in writing or verbally, to speak, preach, treat, dispute, or determine upon or assert whatever whatsoever against the foregoing manners, or who shall adduce any arguments against them while leaving them unresolved, or who shall disagree wherein therein in any other conceivable manner, we here declare that in addition to the penalties and censures constituted in the constitutions issued by Sixtus the Fourth, to which we want them to be subjected, and to which we subject them by the present constitutions, we hereby decree that they be deprived of the authority of preaching, reading in public, that is to say, teaching and interpreting, and that they also be deprived ipso facto of the power of voting, either actively or passively, in all elections without the need for any further declaration, and also ipso facto without any further declaration, they shall incur the penalty of the perpetual disability from preaching, reading in public, teaching and interpreting, and that it shall not be possible to absolve them from such penalty or remove it save through ourselves or the Roman pontiffs who shall succeed us. We also require that the same shall remain with any other penalties which by us of our own free will or by the Roman pontiffs, our successors, according as they may decree, shall be deemed advisable to establish, and by the present constitution we declare them subject thereto, and hereby renew the above decrees and constitutions of Paul the Fifth and Gregory the Sixth. Moreover, as regards those books in which the said sentence, feast, and relative veneration are called into question or contradicted in any way whatsoever, according to what has already been stated, either in writing or verbally, in discourses, sermons, lectures, treatises, and debates, that may have been printed after the above praised decree of Paul V, or may be printed hereafter, we hereby prohibit them, subject them to penalties and censures established by the index of prohibited books, and ipso facto, without any further declaration, we shall desire and command that they be held as expressly prohibited." Unquote.